Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Christ the King Sunday. How many of you have even heard of that before? Three or four? Okay, not a lot. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. First of all, Christ the King Sunday is a new holiday. It's only been in the church since 1925. Started in the Roman Catholic Church by Pope Pius. What it does is it celebrates the end of Jesus' time on earth. And it's before the ascension. So he's already the Son of God. He's taken on that mantle. And so it's very important, I think, for that. But the other part of this that is so important, it's designed about giving thanks and being thankful for Jesus. Now, we just got done with Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is a religious holiday. It's what it was designed as, to give thanks to God. Of course, in America, it's the only holiday where you give thanks to God for everything you have, and then you go out the next day and buy a bunch of stuff, right? I know, it's that night. But, you know, that's a real funny thing about our culture. I was going to use the word dichotomy, but Piggy says I used too many big words many times. But one of the things about this is we give thanks. And, you know, I've talked to you before about the fact that we don't give thanks enough. We don't really appreciate everything that's been done for us, not only now, but on an ongoing basis. I was sitting there and thinking when we did the end of the psalm, I put the doxology on it, okay? Because as it was in the beginning, is now, and forever shall be. You know, many times we use those words, but giving thanks as it is now, okay, as it was and how it will be. We give thanks. But sometimes we get so involved in life, we forget about that. That's all right. It's human nature. I mean, sometimes we just get too busy. Now, in the Old Testament, we had that allusion to the Good Shepherd. Okay, and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats, right? Let me remind you of this. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. And he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. Now let's tie that into our Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. And let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. I love this. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. And finally, from our epistle lesson today, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. You know, it's one of those things in Paul. I mean, he goes over and over and over. It's what you had so much fun reading this morning. But it's important. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. And when all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself, now listen to this, will also be subjected to him who puts all things in subjection under him, that God might be all in all. All right, now, it's a reference to the Trinity, right? But we know that Jesus is equal with God in the Trinity, right? But yet, Jesus is also under God. It tells us he's in subjection to him. Why? Good question. Now, if you've been coming to my walk through the Christian faith on Sunday after church, you've actually heard this once. God is always consistent. But God can change his mind, right? Because we know that's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, is God changed his mind. But yet, God's consistent, isn't he? Well, we know in the Jewish religion, you had to have blood sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. Okay? That's the first covenant. And to be a covenant, it has to be fulfilled. especially when it's God's word. God's not going to say, well, I don't know, we might not do that today. No, God is, we will do that today. And so how can he change his mind? Well, he's got to make that sacrifice so important that it fulfills the first covenant. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. Why? So that we might have everlasting life. All right, so to make this work, God sent his Son. He sent a part of himself under subjection. All right, we call this the humiliation. Why? Because God had to come down and humble himself and become man. And he had to go through, he had to suffer and die for us, for our sins. But that blood of Jesus Christ fulfilled the first covenant. He was our blood sacrifice, because God is consistent. But could he have put that on any one of us? Well, sure he could. Would it have meant the same thing? No. But it's because of that, Jesus becomes exalted. And you know the catechism we've been going through, we just got done studying the humiliation, the exaltation. So when he's exalted, he becomes king. But I think all the people at that time thought he was going to have his own earthly kingdom and come back, and Israel was going to be it. No. He's king of the heavenly kingdom. And as the Creed tells us, where did he go? And he sits at the right hand of God. We're going to go into that for a second. Because of the crucifixion, Jesus changed from being the Son of Man to the Son of God. Now, we know that he was always both. But even Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man all the way through until the crucifixion. And then he goes through. Yes, and there are three times that we see him in his full Godhead. Okay? One is baptism. The other one is... Say it again. Not the crucifixion. Transfiguration. Okay? And the last one is with the woman at the well. You know, that's one we never think of. Yeah. But it's good. But the thing is, he was always there. And remember, we talked about, when we talk about the two natures of Jesus, okay, they're not pieces of wood that are glued together, because they're separate. It's like this, they're tied together. All right, so Jesus is fully man and he's fully God, and he humbled himself to death for us, to pay for our sins. Now, you see why we give thanks today? When we come up here in a few minutes, we're going to celebrate communion. The ancient name for that is Eucharist. And we have heard the word Eucharist before. You know what it means? To give thanks. So when we come to the table, we're giving thanks. How many of you knew that? Two, three. Okay. We give thanks. That's what the whole idea is of going to communion, is to give thanks. And because of that, we receive Jesus into our lives. You know, it talks about that he had to go. Well, this is when he comes back to us, is in communion. All right, so what do we have to be thankful for this year? I was sitting and just, you know, how am I going to approach this? But the first thing we're thankful for, you call the pastor this year. You know, okay, I know it's different and things like that, but calling a pastor is an investment in the future. Okay? And you did that, and that's good. Pat yourselves on the back. And we pat ourselves on the back for being the ones you called. Health. Even when it's bad, it's still good, right? You know, look at Richard, what he's been through, and he's sitting here. Look at Roy, who's in the hospital right now. You know, we look at this and say, oh, it's awful. Priscilla and Jane, I am still flabbergasted that here 2 weeks ago you had your leg cut in half. 3 weeks? Sorry. And here you are both walking into church today, talking and things. you know, stop and think. You just had an axe in the leg and cut part of it off. Ain't modern medicine wonderful? Okay, but we have things to be thankful for. Okay? Even when things are tough, give thanks, because you're still alive, aren't you? Okay. All right, presidential election. Some like him, some don't. But I think it's surprising for all the negative rhetoric that you hear over the news, the approval rating is still over 50%. Okay. So whether you like him or hate him, you know, it's an event. Irma. We be here. Yeah, it was my first rodeo. Well, I've been through tornadoes and 110-mile-an-hour straight-line winds in Arizona. But a hurricane was a little bit different. But the thing is, we all made it. We're all sitting here. Yeah, we had minor damage, but it could have been so much worse. And don't you think prayers have a lot to do with it?
Yes.
Oh, I do too. And finally, our military will keep us safe. You know, and if it, stop and think, if it wasn't for the military, we wouldn't be here. And for people who were willing, even from the beginning of our country, to stand up for what they believed, aren't we standing up for what we believe too? I mean, we just celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Somebody had the guts to stand up. Say thanks. Well, what are all of these? Well, what we receive from Jesus is so important. But remember, I told, this is what I discussed with that Sunday school class, but I think it's important for all of you. One of my jobs is to have the proper distinction between law and gospel. Okay, I'm going to look around. Anybody remember what that is? Tina just looked at me and then looked away. Although you got the other one, you've done good. No, proper distinction between law and gospel is this. Gospel is what we receive, right? Jesus did it for us. But when you do something, that's law. Yeah, it's put it down. So when Jesus went to the cross, was it law or gospel? Yeah, I always like to say yes. Okay? Because it was. So when we look at this and we look at the basis of this, it's both. Okay? So Jesus went to that cross and paid the price. Now remember, I've talked about the cross. What comes down to us? Grace. Okay? Then what happens? We give it out. So it comes from our King, right? Because it's Christ the King sending to us, and then it spreads to all of those around us. And remember, Luther said, unless you are willing to share, are you really forgiven if you don't forgive others? You know, unless you share the grace of Jesus with others, do you receive the grace? The word he uses is conduit. Right. So we are blessed, but do we share that blessing? That's something I think we need to talk about. Well, we're going to read a little bit out of the gospel. But there's one thing I want to talk about before we do that, and that's the difference between right and left. All right, we all know, especially when from the reading this morning, that the good people are on the right, the bad people are on the left. Right? Okay. Jesus went to heaven. He sits on the right hand of God. If you have a dinner, where does your guest of honor go? To the right. Okay. Why is that? Well, if we go back to, I'm going to talk Latin today, not Greek, but the two differences of the words. The word for right is dexter, dexterity. Okay. Those kind of things, that's dexter. That means it's the right way to do things. The word for left is sinister. How many of you do that? Okay, so when we look at the word sinister, even the concept of being left is bad. You know, I don't know how many of you were left-handed with kids and then you were forced to write right-handed, you know, because that's a sign of the devil, right? Left-handed. No, it's just the way your brain works. You know, but it's those kind of things that come into culture, don't they? You got to do both. Peggy can sit and write two different things with both hands at the same time, and it's legible. Dang it. Yeah, but extras. Yeah, but that's a sermon for another day. I'm going to read you a little bit from our gospel again. It's sort of long, but I think it's so important. Then the king shall say to those on his right, then the king shall say, with me, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer him, truly I say to you, verily, verily, I say unto you, if you grew up the old King James, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Now, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. How do you think he really feels? For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And then they will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. We serve Jesus. Remember, I've told you that the word for servant in Greek is doulos. And what's the other name for a doulos? Nope. Slave. We are slaves to Jesus Christ. We are slaves to his will. And what does he want us to do?
Spread the good word.
Spread the good word. Okay. How many of us do that? You know, I see one or two hands, I see a lot of you going like this. You know, folks, it shouldn't have to be something, you know, hard to do. Have you been blessed in your life? Yeah. Can you share what you've been blessed about? Sure you can. Does it have to be long? No. In fact, we call this, and we're going to talk about this after the first of the year, it's a 30-second witness. You know, I went through a bad time in my divorce, and the Lord came to me and help me through it. I bet you can share something like that too. There's your witness. How long did it take? 5 seconds? 10 seconds? We've got this idea that because it's so important, it's supposed to be hard. Jesus never meant it to be hard, did he? No. But again, that's what we do in service to Jesus because he wants us to. We're not earning anything from him. You know, we're not building up points that we can redeem at the end for eternal life. It doesn't work that way. But when we share the blessings of the cross, we too are blessed. And as Bev said in our meeting not too long ago, you know, if we help other people, it comes back to us tenfold. And it does. You don't think Jesus knows? I do. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you so much for your humiliation on the cross and your exaltation and the resurrection and our eternal life with you in heaven. We give thanks to you for all the many benefits you give to us. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving, and let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Come, King Jesus, be our guest. Amen.